Philippians chapter 3, I'll read from verses 4 through 9. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had whereof, he might trust in the flesh I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share your word. We pray you guide our thoughts towards thee. Help us to concentrate on what you have for us. May we learn more from thy word, and may we be doers and not just hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. The theme for the message is example of a true follower of Jesus Christ. Example of a true follower of Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul, in these verses that we just read, fully trusts Christ when he was apprehended on his way to persecute Christians. And knowing the Lord or accepting Christ as his personal Savior, he did something that many Christians today are not able to do. But I want us to see his pedigree when he wasn't a Christian and then when he became a Christian. He was a great scholar. He has it all. But that man put everything aside and held on to Jesus Christ until the day he died. And the kind of life he lived, if all believers today will live that life, I trust Christendom would never be defeated by any foe. I want us first of all to observe his willingness to abandon all legal righteousness. Paul started by saying he has confidence in the flesh. He says, if there is anyone or any cause for boasting, he is the one who should do that, because he had all the privileges that an Israelite should have. He was a kingpin concerning his own rights. He is a champion when Israel is mentioned. And I'll tell you some of the reasons why he said that. His confidence in tribal and cultural matters. He said he was circumcised the eighth day. And I believe all of us are aware that every Jewish male born should be circumcised the eighth day. And Paul is saying, my parents, they did that. Exactly. They never failed. Because they want to take the right course concerning their tribe. So he's saying his parents were obedient in that light. He's of the stock of Israel, the man whose name was changed from Jacob to Israel. So you see, he's having it's all right. He hasn't failed yet. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. To crown it all, he says, I am not from the tribe of any of the rebellious or maid servants. I'm from Rachel, the beloved wife of Jacob. His blood has not been polluted. He is an Hebrew of Hebrews. Yeah, his parents, they cross over. That is the meaning of the word Hebrew, to cross over. The man Abraham was called from the world and he crossed over to God, and he was the founder of the Hebrew race. And Paul says, I am from that tribe. I'm from that race. A complete Hebrew. Like an American who can say, my parents came with the Mayflower, so I am an American of Americans. And I can say I'm a Ghanaian of Ghanaians, because my father was a Ghanaian, my mother was a Ghanaian. And he said, concerning the law, a Pharisee. And we all know that the Pharisees, they were the lawyers of the day. They were the lawyers. They know the law from one page to the other. And Paul, he studied at the feet of Gamaliel, so he was a great scholar of the law. Today we can call him a professor of the law or a doctor of the law. He said he did not only receive the law as from the prophets and from God himself, but he belonged to the sect, which is well known for their authority on the law, the Old Testament. Then he went on to say, he's knowledgeable. Concerning knowledge, he's on top. So, he cannot just come to Christianity if the Lord has not apprehended him, because he thinks he's better than others. Paul was very zealous. While he was in the world, he was very zealous. And he said it himself. So concerning zeal, I am a Pharisee. And he went about persecuting Christians. He went on his way to Damascus to go and do the same work when the Lord apprehended him on the way. And I love what Paul said that day. He said, who are you, Lord? I wonder how he managed to know that it was the Lord. But I know why. Because the incident that happened, nobody can do that except the Lord. And then he asks the most fascinating question. He said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? How did he know that the Lord apprehended him to do something for him? Beloved, every believer, everybody saved, there is something for you to do for Jesus. The day that you are saved to serve, you are not saved to sit. So everybody has something to do for Jesus. So Paul asks, what would thou have me to do? So that man was indeed zealous. But you know what I love about Paul? He brought that zeal into Christianity. He brought that zeal into Christianity. And we are going to see how. Paul said, touching righteousness And as to that plan of justification, which justification the Jews say is to be obedient by an observance of the law, I have done everything possible to be righteous. But will that righteousness take Paul to heaven? Will that righteousness make him the man that God wants everybody, every believer to be? And the answer is no. And so Paul came to a point in life and he realized that he stand in no stead to enter into the kingdom of God. So from the day that he was apprehended, he made up his mind he was going to serve the Lord till death do him part. Now let's see what happened to Paul after salvation. He now says, I am married to holy ambitions. Now Paul does not have regard for all that we have said. He doesn't have regard for them again because he has seen the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He now comes to understand that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God. He has now come to the point where he realizes that without God, nothing is possible. Beloved, we have so many religious leaders. None of them died to save anybody from sin except Christ. So now Paul says, number one, I am denying myself. I'm denying myself of all the names, the glory that I had while I was in the world. I'm denying myself of all. This is what he says, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss. In Luke 9:23, the Bible says, if any will want to follow Jesus, he must first of all do what? Deny himself. And take up his cross daily and follow him. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about. Self-denial. The credit, the respect, the knowledge, the zeal, and everything that he had, he says, I'm counting all these things as loss. I don't need them again. They can go away. It doesn't profit me in any way. And this is the way, as believers, we need to live. We must leave the world aside and take up our cross and follow Jesus. Paul never left some and kept some. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things, all, not some, but all. I count all things but loss. I have gained salvation because I have given up everything to Jesus Christ, who loved me so much and died for me. Had Christ not died, will any of us sit here? No. Paul is saying, because of the death of Jesus Christ, today I'm counting all things but loss. Then he consecrated his life to Jesus Christ. He said, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, the superior light, the information, and the blessedness which came through the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm now consecrating myself to that man, Jesus Christ. I'm willing to suffer for his sake. And I love the text in Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And that is my life text. I love that verse. Paul has seen that he is nobody. Without Christ, he is nothing. So he is sacrificing his all for the sake of the gospel. He was beaten. He had shipwreck. He suffered a lot. He was beheaded. Why? Because he knows whom he has believed. And he is persuaded that he is able to keep that which he has committed unto him against that day. He said he is suffering for Christ. I have suffered the loss of all things. Some translate it thus. For whom I have thrown away all things. The great apostle is saying, I have made a voluntary choice of Christ, his cross, his poverty, his reproach. And for these, I have freely sacrificed all I have from the world. You know, when Joshua took over from Moses, the Lord commissioned him. And in Joshua chapter 1 verse 7, the Lord said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but I shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, not just observe, but to do what you observe, do it. Many believers, they observe, but they don't do. Paul says, I will observe and do it. Let me illustrate this. I read of a man, it's a true story written by the man himself. There's a great preacher, in Britain called F.B. Meyer, died many years ago. He was organizing an evangelistic ministry and he invited a preacher, an evangelist from USA to go and preach. That man sent with him preacher boys, and one of the men was C.T. Stott. He was a cricket player. They said during the evangelistic activity, there were problems here and there. But C.T. Stott was always happy, rejoicing, singing to the praise of God. And every mayor was so surprised to see a young man of his caliber doing that. So Abimeah sat down and said, what does that young man has and I don't have? So he gathered courage to ask the young man. So he called C.T. Stott and asked him, young man, what do you have and I don't have? And the young man said, what are you asking? I thought you are a great preacher. And why are you asking me this? But a young man turned and said to him, one thing I know, I have given my all to Jesus Christ. Beloved, when you give your all to Jesus Christ, your life becomes a difference. When you give your all to Jesus Christ, your life becomes a difference. So F.B. Meyer decided that night he was going to pray and give his all to Jesus, because he realizes that anytime he stands at the Lord's Supper,
He feels something within, something pricks him within his heart. Which means there was something wrong.
So they said that night he knelt by his bed and prayed. And while he was praying, as if the Lord Jesus Christ entered the room and demanded what he was holding. They say at the time he was holding a bunch of keys. And the Lord said, "What are you holding?" And he says, "A bunch of keys." And he said, "Let me have it." And he gave the keys to Jesus. But he crunched his fist, which means there's still something there. So the Lord asked, "What is that?" He said, "Oh, a small key." He said, "Let me have it." He said, "Lord, I wish I could give it to you, but I can't." So the Lord threw the keys at him, and as if he was leaving the room, F.B. Meyer shouted and said, "Lord, give me the second chance." So they said, the Lord returned. And lo and behold, he was demanding the same small key. F.B. Meyer said, "Lord, I wish I could give it to you, but I can't." But he made this statement. He said, "Lord, if you take it with force from me, I'm willing to be willing." So they said the Lord held his hand, took the key, and within a month, F.B. Meyer became the man that he should be for Jesus Christ. There are so many believers like F.B. Meyer. We have given everything to Jesus, but we are still withholding something from him. That is dragging us from doing our best for the master. But you know, we have a song in our hymn book and we sing every time and yet we don't mean it. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. But the question is, do we mean it? Have we given all to Jesus? Paul says, "I sacrifice myself for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ." So he said, "And I do count all things but dunk, rubbish, garbage. All that I have gained in the world has become like a garbage to me because of Jesus Christ." That is how he sees it. In Galatians 2:20, he wrote, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who died for me. Who gave his life for me." It's that Christ is so precious to me now because I have passed from death to life. That I may win Christ. Better translated, that I may gain Christ. A man cannot make other things his gain and at the same time gain Christ. No. You have to leave everything so you can gain Christ. He who loses all things and even himself on account of Christ, gain Christ. Christ is his and he is Christ. Now Paul came to understand righteousness. Now Paul knew that he doesn't have any righteousness of his own. The word of God says our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. And Paul came face to face with that. And so he changed his mind. And this is what he says. He said, "Now, not of the law, but of Christ. Our righteousness is in Jesus Christ." We are going gradually. We are being sanctified gradually, progressively. But that day will come when we shall be sanctified, when we meet Jesus. And that righteousness will be robed with it. I hope all of us are waiting patiently to that day when we shall be robed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What a day would that be? Beloved, salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. If you hold fast to the world and its deceptions, heaven will elude you. But if you truly, sincerely will give all to Jesus, you surrender all to Jesus like the Apostle Paul did, I believe sincerely in my heart that Christianity will look differently. The deceit of the world today, there are many so-called Christian religions that are satanic religions. People have brought magic into the church and they say they are healing and they are helping people to overcome their difficulties. No, they are lying. If you looked at the lives they live, that tells you clearly that they don't know what they are about. Beloved, those of us who have sincerely given our lives to Jesus, we need to give our all to Him. Because what He did for us, we cannot do it on our own. I pray that all of us will share with Paul that which we were before, we laying it, we nailing it at the cross, and we shall not go back there to collect it again. You know what? Christianity came with a cross on one hand and a crown on another hand. When we take the cross, the crown will be ours. So let us nail all to the cross so that when we meet Jesus, we shall gain the crown. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and the example he has given us tonight. May we change our lives in that light. May we be willing to give our all to you. Take that small key from us with force, because we are willing to be willing. So Lord Jesus, we'll stand firm, whatever the tide may be. Thank you for hearing us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Seth. A good exposition of that passage, and a good application of it. He mentioned the song, I Surrender All, and I think that would be a fitting song to finish with this evening. So if you'll take your hymnal, number 390. And while we don't normally give a come forward invitation on Sunday evening, I hope that as you sing through the song, that with the passage and the preaching, that you'll come to the conclusion, I need to surrender. I need to come to the place where I either trust Him as my Savior, or I surrender completely to Him. Give Him all the keys that are in your hand. Number 390, let's stand together, please. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Trust Him in His I give myself to thee. Brent and Mandy, if you want to go back there as well, it'll give you an opportunity to talk to them after the service. They have their information out there, and it sounds like something the Lord is really using in that area and something that could have a tremendous impact. And so get to know their ministry and talk to them a little bit and pray for them as you think of that. If we can help you in any way, let us know. We're going to pray, and then we'll let you be dismissed. Father in heaven, thank you for the scripture, and I thank you for the ministries that exist in places that we may never be. And Lord, how exciting it is to see you working in the lives of young people and working in the lives of college age people and calling them to places where they can further the work. Lord, I pray for Seth that you'll continue to bless his work, and I pray that you'll provide for him. Thank you for your kindness to our church family. In Jesus' name, amen.